Good morning, everybody. This morning, we are starting a new series. It's called You Asked For It. And pretty simple. We had asked our members to scan a QR code. We sent out some emails. A lot of people responded. And we got some topics that either A, affect everybody, all right, or B, they're just kind of current issues that we're seeing going on in this global moment and in this culture. And today, we're going to kick it off with mental health, all right? I didn't draw the short end of the stick, all right? I didn't get stuck with this. Before I was a pastor, I was a mental health worker. So I think in my career, I must have done 3,000, 4,000 psychosocial evaluations. I worked in the inpatient setting, the outpatient setting, the group setting with cancer patients. I did a lot of work in mental health. But more personally, I've had two of my own family members take their own lives. I have two members of my family with bipolar 2, manic depression. And I've experienced just in our own family ecosystem probably over 30 hospitalizations when it comes to mental illness. And so not only is this an important topic, but it's personally affected me in some pretty profound ways. Now, everybody is interested in mental health. And if you don't believe that, then I'm going to ask you a question, get a response, and then you'll believe it. All right? How many of you this last week have asked someone else, how's it going? All right? See? You're all interested in mental health, right? And all it means is what's going on your insides. That's it, right? It's what's going on your insides. The interesting thing about how's it going, and you're like, you really want to know what's going on inside of a person, you know, where they're at on in their inner person, what they're thinking, what they're feeling in the moment, is they don't give you none of it. They just go, oh, they start talking about their outsides. Well, I'm busy, right? I have this, you know, there's the kids, there's school, there's work. They don't reveal anything. Why? Because people are like icebergs. They only give you the tip. But where's the substance of an iceberg? Above the waterline or below the waterline? Right? So they give you the tip, the projection, the what's happening. They give you their outsides when you want to know what's underneath here. So maybe you can enter in and maybe you can help them out. All right? And so everybody is kind of interested in mental health. All we're talking about is your inside life. And people want to know, but we're very slow to let people in for fear that there might be something that contrasts with the image that we're projecting. Okay, let's go to the next level of what mental health really is. It's really connected to your perception of yourself, your perception of life, your perception of others, your perception of God. And can I ask you another question? Is perception always reality, yes or no? No, yeah, we can get it wrong. We can perceive things, we can feel things, we can sense things, we can look at life, we can look at our situation, we can look at what's going on in the world, we can look at what's happening in a family group, we can look at what's happening in someone else's life. And man, we can go to a dark, dark place, make a dark conclusion. But that perception isn't always reality. You know what the toughest one is your perception of yourself. Perception's not always reality. In mental health, we always deal with people who have this perception that things are fatal and final and that this is irrecoverable, that this is irredeemable, that I've gone too far, and it's not true. It's simply not true. And that's where a mental health worker would come alongside and just say, well, yeah, based on what you've told me, I think some options you need to explore are A, B, C, or D. And then you start walking with that person out of a perception and then into some reality, right? And so today, here's what's going to happen with this message on mental health is we're just going to normalize the issue. And I've given you kind of a lexicon, a word for it, just your insides. That's all mental health is. How's it going? What's going on? And that's what God would be asking of you during this time together as a church family. How's it going? How's it going on the inside? Not the image or anything like what's going on out there, the car you drive or the vacations you take or the activities you do, right? How are you? And then what we're going to do next is look at some inner battles that we fight and then how God is connected, how the follower of Jesus, right, connects the issues of life that have the potential to crush us and put us in despair and fear and make us depressed and sad or lonely. How does that collide then with faith and how do we get out of it? If you have your message notes, at the top of them is Psalm 42, verse 5. We're gonna put it on the screen and I'd like to read it. It says this, Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. We just sang a song that called the soul to wake up. Have you guys ever talked to yourselves? You ever done the kind of the self-talk when you're in the dumps? You're just like, hey, well, that's not so bad, you know? And if people were following you around, they think you would have a dissociative disorder, you know? Where it's sort of like, hey, this isn't so bad. You know, hey, come on, it's not so bad. And you know what? Put your hope in God. That is what David is doing. Actually, it's not David. It's a son of Korah. It's Psalm 42. It's book two. This guy who's a son of Korah, he's a worship warrior, right? And juxtaposed right next to each other is, I'm disturbed in my soul. And then there's his hope in God. Disturbed in my soul, hope in God. I'm in despair, but then I have my hope in God. And there's this battle. Wouldn't you agree that your inner life is a battle? Anybody? Yeah, you're battling. You're battling faith. You're battling sadness. You're battling Jesus. You're battling, a loss. You're battling what I know about God. And I know all these great things about God. He controls everything. He loves me. He knows. He's wise. And then this is going on in my life. How does that work? Right? And so you're trying to reconcile those things. Same here in the Bible. That's what I love about the Bible. Normal people, normal issues, battling on the inside, mental health. So let's look at some common denominators that put everybody in the same boat, and let's demystify this whole thing about mental health. Number one, life is a mental health challenge. If you're taking notes, please write that down. Life itself is a mental health challenge. And Jesus told us it was going to be that way. In John 16:33, he said this, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. In other words, all that time that you spend trying to make life predictable, all that time you spend avoiding pain, and we're built to avoid pain, who wants to sign up for pain? All that time we try to organize our lives to insulate us from the hard things, and then like a bowling ball coming down the lane, just whoo, right? Some of you are there right now. Everything was going awesome, you had a good flow, and then all of a sudden, bowling ball right down the alley, right? Something you didn't expect, unwelcomed, unexpected, unplanned. Anybody here ever had something like that happen in their life? Raise your hand. Okay, so life is a mental health challenge, all right? Things are gonna happen. Jesus said, you'll have three trials and sorrows. He said, you'll have many, right? Jesus himself experienced what? Trial and sorrow, right? Which makes him the perfect savior for people going through trials and sorrows, right? So he resets our expectations, right? Life is good and bad. People are good and bad. Marriages are good and bad. Relationships are good and bad. Churches are good and bad. Pastors are good and bad. Hate to break it to you. But that's our expectation. Life is a mental health challenge, all right? Look at what it says. I love how the super saints are just people. Paul is a super saint, okay? Look at what he says to his other brothers and sisters, like I'm talking to you now. He says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. Listen to this. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Let's finish it together. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Kind of like the son of Korah. He's in it, but he's battling, right? He's learning, he's saying, God, you're allowing some of these things into my life, and they're almost overwhelming, but it's teaching me something here. How many of you guys have went into a problem and came out of the problem a little bit different? Anybody? All right, yeah, problems never leave you the way they find you, right? So that's the same for Paul. God is teaching him to rely on him, but he's fighting. He just thought, I'm despairing. I expect to die. Here, I mean, that's how low he got, but then he stopped relying on himself. There was a turn in the situation where he stopped looking at the situation, looking what was going on, focusing on the emotions, all that over, and then he started to rely on God because Jesus is the vine and we are the, yeah. We depend. We can fight our way out of things because we have power. The resurrection power of Jesus. He says, we learn to rely only on God who raises the dead. All right? I don't know if you're here and you think, okay, that's dead in my life. That's dead in my life. This marriage, that relationship is dead. This is dead. That's dead. No, it's not. I feel like Buddy the Elf. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Where's the snow? God's saying it's not dead because I have the power to raise it back to life, right? Dead is dead. You might feel it's dead, might look dead, not breathing, no movement. But God says, that's okay. I call into being things which previously do not exist. I speak, and I can speak life into you. I can speak life into that relationship. I can speak life into your career. I'm at work. Everybody say that. I'm at work. God's at work, and we need to remember that life is a mental health challenge, but God is at work. Number two, life is lived from the inside out. The story of your life is not an outside story. It's an inside story. Relationships, in the end, are not outside stories of people's outsides, their looks, they're inside stories of their character, all right? Life is lived from the inside out. Bible tells us that. Proverbs 4:23, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. And I would like us to read that together. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Ready? Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When the Bible says heart, it means your passions, your affections, your thinking, right? Your beliefs, everything that's inside of you that will create an outer choice, right? A way of being, a way of believing, a way of behaving, your character that leads to conduct, right? It's your inside person. So when we say, how's it going to people, really what we're asking is like, how's your heart? How's your insides? Tell me what's going on there, because that's the most important thing. Now, you probably will get an outside explanation to the inside question, but God's asking on the inside. God's here, and he wants to know how your heart really is. What's going on the inside? I love Proverbs 23. It talks about how that's where life is really lived. It puts a little vignette together. It says this, "Don't eat the bread of a selfish man, or desire his delicacies." Listen to this. "For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink." Let's finish it together. "But his heart is not with you." You see, the real you is your heart. It's the hidden you. It's the confused you. It's the hurting you, right? It's the one that doesn't know what's gonna happen next. It's the one who feels maybe rejected or abandoned. Or maybe I just don't know if this is gonna work out, all right? That's the real you. Who does God want to minister to? The tip that everybody else sees or what's below the waterline? Yeah, he wants to minister to the one nobody sees. He wants that person, because that's where the real issues are. It's not in the material things. It's not where we go or where we vacation or how much money's in our portfolio or whatever. It's who you are that God is interested in. So life is a mental health challenge. Life is lived from the inside out. Number three, life is a uniquely personal journey. Okay, I'm looking around, lots of faces. You guys have your own unique stories, every single one of you. You had a unique set of parents, unique set of circumstances surrounding you coming into the world, unique family systems, unique experiences in those family systems. Maybe some good things, maybe some bad things, I don't know. But it's unique to you, right? On this whole mental health question, there are people on all parts of the continuum, okay? It's a unique thing. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when you have various sets of circumstances and stories. Make sense? I have this little cartoon. Oh, you got it up there already. Cool. All right, it's the elephant, the stork, the turtle, and the snake, right? So they come to the issue, right? And if somebody tells you that mental health is a one-size-fits-all issue, they're wrong. Trust me, I know. It's not, because people come from different circumstances. You know, what works for one person doesn't work for another person. A low dose of lithium might just be the answer for a chemically imbalanced person, and it might not be the answer for another person. Maybe they just need to talk it out, all right? Depending on how severe or what their circumstances. I worked with one of the best psychiatrists in all of the world, Christian psychiatrist named Dr. Paul Meyer. And I said, Dr. Meyer, when it comes to mental health, what is it? Is it genes? Is it environment? Is it choices? He goes, all three. It's never one. Genes, environment, and choices. Sometimes your environment puts you in a vulnerable position, then you start making choices, and then choices activate a biological thing that happens. to you, right? I saw that in my own family. So life is a uniquely personal journey. And what I love about the Bible is that to illustrate this idea, just that there's people who come from different backgrounds. One of my favorite guys in the Bible is a judge. His name is Jephthah, all right? That's what I hope my first grandchild's name is gonna be, Jephthah. Anyway, I'm really hoping and praying, not. But Jephthah the Gileadite, all right, look at what the Bible says. Look at this guy's background. Just kind of let this sink in. Jephthah the Gileadite was one tough warrior. Okay, that's who he is. He was the son of a prostitute, but Gilead was his father. So looks like we got a little extramarital going on. Meanwhile, Gilead's legal wife had given him other sons. And when they grew up, his wife's sons threw Jephthah out. They told him, you're not getting any of our family inheritance. You're the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and went to live in the land of Tob. Some riffraff joined him and went around with him. Wow. Loses his faith community, loses his first community of acceptance, loses his connection to his family, all because in Harry Potter language, he's a muggle blood, right? He's not gonna get any of the money, right? And so human selfishness kicks in, and because of Jephthah's background, which he didn't have a whole lot of control over, he gets booted, but he still wants to belong. Where does he go? The land of Tob, all right? In the Bible, it says that there's 600 adventurers and they become mighty warriors. The story is amazing because Israel asks Jephthah to come back when they're threatened by the enemy and he becomes a judge. But I mean, what a background, right? You have individual backgrounds, individual genetics, individual family system, positive, negative experiences. There's no one size fits all. So life is a uniquely personal journey. Lastly, on this common denominator theme, life is better when lived in truth and reality. But sometimes that's really hard to live in truth and reality, especially when that truth is about yours truly, right? I can hear truth all day long about a subject that's not connected to me, but then when the truth starts coming to the table and it's about me, I think my body temperature rises a little bit. I was in a counseling appointment and the counselor said, we're gonna talk about some very difficult things. I'm like, that's okay, I'm good, about you. And I just went, my ears went back. I'm like, uh-oh. Thank God for Milan Jurkovic. Thank God for the courage that he had to kind of take me into some spaces and places in my own journey that must be discussed with another person, right? Now, here's the thing about living in truth and reality. Jesus says, this is where the war is won when it comes to your insides. Look at what he says. This is the verdict, Jesus says. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil and hates light won't come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Let's finish it together. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Big idea. Truth is confronting, but truth is the path to freedom. You see, there's the facers and the fleers in that passage. Light comes in, truth, and the truth is there on the porch, the truth of Jesus. He comes as light, as truth. He'll always tell you the truth because he is the truth. And then there's people who they have a way of being and believing and behaving. They have a pattern, and then the truth comes in, and then you have two choices. You can face the truth or you can flee the truth. And there's a word for that. It's denial and deception. And now we have the spiritual battle. We have truth versus lies, God versus Satan, right? The word versus the world. Now the epic battle for your insides is set up, and it all depends on, are you gonna believe truth? It comes from God, because the truest thing about anything, as Pastor JP always says, is what God says is true. You gonna believe the truth? Or are you gonna believe lies? Self-generated lies, lies from culture, lies from the enemy, right? Or are you gonna believe truth? And Your destination based on which you choose, Jesus talks about that too. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, You are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Let's finish it together. And the truth will set you free. Now, is the truth always comfortable? Yes or no? No, it's not. But you're not looking over your shoulder. You're not living a double life. You're in the light. And because of God's love, it's okay to be in the light, because he's not going to reject you no matter what you do. And then that gives us confidence to be truthful with other people. In human relationships, this truth, us being in the truth, God's permanence of his love allows us to be truthful with God. And because we'll never lose his love, now we can be truthful with people. Life is lived better when it's lived in truth and reality. So now that we have everybody kind of on the same page, right? Life is a mental health challenge. We can all agree on that. Life is a uniquely personal journey. Life is lived from the inside out. People's insides come out in relationships and life. And life is better when we're in truth and reality. On that last point, we know that life is better when lived in truth and reality, because when people lie to us after we trust them, it breaks our spirit. We sabotage relationships. And then our worst nightmare happens. And we don't want that to happen, but there's dynamics in play. So there's the inner battle. How does God want us to bring our faith to this inner battle? All right, got a few things we need to talk about. Bible says, number one, God sees our insides first. If you're a follower of Jesus, God doesn't care what clothes you're wearing. He doesn't care about what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care where you take vacations. He doesn't care how much money's in your bank account. He doesn't care how successful you are. He doesn't care about your outsides. He really, really, really cares about your insides. The man after God's heart, David, talking to his son Solomon, is cluing his son in on this reality. Look at what he says. David says to Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28. He says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind." Let's finish it together. "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought." How many hearts, how many desires, how many thoughts does God search? Everyone in this room right now, simultaneously and at the same time. God is infinite and God is omnipotent and God is wise and God is looking. When you combine all those together, that means he's searching every single heart in this sanctuary at the same time, and he sees you for exactly what's in your heart, what's in your thoughts, what your desires are, what your hopes, what your longings are. God sees our insides first, all right? So as you're fighting some of these inner battles and struggling just to be a healthy person on the inside, just know that that's where God is looking. So you don't have to hide it. And that's what you need to deal with. Number two, Bible says God knows your story. Thank God for that. Have you heard someone say, like, "How's it going?" "Well, it's a long story." Right? You know, it's like, you don't even know the half of it. Like, we're going to skip a big chapter of our lives because it's just too long of a story. It's too involved. It's too messy. It's too complicated, right? That's fine. You can skip it with people. God didn't skip anything. God was with you every second of the journey. He's with you this second right now. God knows your story. Isn't it nice to know that someone knows your story and still accepts you? That's one of the best things about God's love. He knew my whole story, right? Navy brat, last of seven, son of a third generation alcoholic, brother was a drug dealer, I was dealing drugs, life of the party, drinking 2 12-packs, driving everybody home, getting in car accidents. Like, I was the kid in the neighborhood where it's just like, oh, don't hang out with him. Like, the families that cared about their children said that. But then all the lost boys, we found each other. Right, Pastor Greg? We found them. We found all the lost boys, like Peter Pan, right? But we look at this and I'm like, yeah, God, you know, that's what blew my mind when I came to Jesus, right? It's just like, wait a minute. I have to earn some of this stuff. Because, you know, my story, right? I got to get all cleaned up before I can come to you. And he's like, no, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to clean up anything, because I already cleaned you up. Can I get an amen? Isn't that great? I already cleaned you up. I know your story. I accept you. I bled for you. I paid for all that stuff. Even now, some of you are struggling with guilt. You're walking around with it like a big 100-pound sack. You're dragging it around. And the reason you're not free is because your standard of forgiveness is higher than God's. You're like, yeah, but I can't forgive myself. Oh, well, God's forgiven you. Yeah, but I can't forgive myself. So you're saying that your standard is higher than God's? You're forgiven. How about be grateful for that and use that gratitude and kindness that leads to repentance? Amen? Right? That's what totally motivates me. I look at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so mind-blowing. God, what can I do for you? Because you did that for me. Kind of takes energy for God out of the performance bucket and puts it in the gratitude bucket, all right? So God knows your story. Third, Bible says God wants you talking, all right? When it comes to your insides, if you don't process them with somebody, if you're not talking to God, if you're not talking to other people, you will get toxic. How many of you have ever been to Mono Lake? Anybody? You guys know what Mono Lake is? What kind of sea is it? Somebody said salt. I really couldn't hear it, but I'm assuming somebody said salt, right? No, if you look up Mono Lake, if you Google it, it'll say this is a salton sea, and it looks blue and beautiful and all that stuff, but you know what it is? It's toxic. There's only two creatures that live in Mono Lake, really ugly seahorses and brine shrimp. And when you get a close-up under the microscope, man, the seahorses are ugly. And brine shrimp, why? Because they are built to work in a toxic environment. And sometimes I think there are people who prefer to live in a toxic, unprocessed life with God and people, and then they become creatures. Their skin becomes so thick, their walls go up so high, and they stop living and they stop having joy. Why? Because there's no fresh peninsulas of life. A healthy water ecosystem has fresh peninsulas of life. That's what keeps it from becoming toxic. But if you're not processing life, your insides, with God, number one, which is what it says here. Matter of fact, let's read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I don't know about you, but in my walk with Jesus, when I found this verse, I was like, yes. Because it meant that God was gonna get on my inside. Listen to what it says. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises, listen to this, shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens, let's finish it together, when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You know, I can kind of track my inside life with my prayer life. I don't know about you, but the more I'm talking to God and the more I give to God and the more I just kind of give to him and we have a dialogue going, the more peace I have because God's on it. I'm like, we talked about that. The less I talked about God, the more I panic when things come up. And I can always gauge kind of like my panic and worry level based on my conversation with God. If I'm really talking with God, processing life, and that's just not in the morning, but just kind of like as I go through my day and I'm kind of turning it over. Because how many of you have ever prayed and then taken it back from God? Right? You're like, here, God, I give my whole life to you. Now I'm taking it back. Right? Here, I give you this whole issue. Now I'm taking it back. Right? I give you this thing, this compulsion, this thing. Now I'm taking it back. Right? Instead of leaving it in his hands and continuing to work with him and keeping in step with him, where your thinking becomes praying and your praying becomes thinking. If there's a prayer that I have for you, it's that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, would be that your thinking would become praying and your praying would become thinking. That there wouldn't be like places where you don't talk to God and places where you do. I mean, sometimes there are special places, you know, there's the beach, of course. You know, and there's pretty locations, and then there's your little latte cup with the heart inside of it at the coffee store with the picture of your Bible on Instagram. There's that place. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? It should be just one continuous dialogue with God. And some of you are here, and you're really tired, and you're worn out. It's because you've flipped the vine and the branch. You're acting like the vine, and God is the branch. And you're not depending on him and you're not talking to him. But God wants you talking to him. God wants you talking with other believers, okay? Another, you know, discovered this for the first time as a new believer. I'm like, yes, James 5:16. Let's read that together, ready? Make this your common practice. Is it up there? All right, let's read together. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. All the guys are extremely uncomfortable right now. It's like being honest. You know, I've been doing men's ministry for over 30 years. You know when the breakthrough happens? It's when a guy comes to a group and he sits there for the first 3 weeks and he says, zip. But he's listening to these guys like they're getting honest about stuff. And he's like, yeah, that's happened in my life. It's kind of having this inner conversation like, yep, that's true of me. That's true of me. That's true of me. And then maybe in week four, he'll say something like this. You know, I've never told anybody about this. But this is going on. Because he feels an environment of transparency and authenticity and acceptance. And he starts just, hey, sin is just missing the mark. Anybody perfect here? Okay, great. No hands. Didn't want anybody to raise their hand. So it's stupid if we're all in the same boat that we're not talking about the things that plague us and the problems that we have. It's the things that bother us. I mean, it just makes no sense. It's dysfunctional. That God declares us a sinner and we fall short and we should talk about these things that we're struggling and battling with the body of Christ, and then we don't, and then people don't know that we're struggling, and then that leash gets let out, and then that problem gets worse and worse and worse and worse, when way back here, God said, at Sunday service, at Crossline, at 11, you need to talk with the body of Christ. Is there someone in your life that's a Christian that is safe that you could talk to? Really important. The Bible says the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you either. It's an oxymoron to be a Christian and to not be connected in a healthy way to the body of Christ because we're one. Amen? All right? Can we have a cup of honesty? I need you, you need me. I need my men's group. They need me. Some days I come in and I'm beaten and battered and bruised and my sword is heavy. Other days someone else's sword is heavy and their shield is not coming up, and they need to be lifted up and propped up. So God wants you talking to him, God wants you talking to others. And then there's this third little category where there might be a spiritually gifted person, naturally and spiritually, that you need to talk to. Look at what it says in Proverbs 15:4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. There's been about three times in my marriage where, gosh, we really needed to talk to a skilled person. We needed to talk to a tongue that brings healing. And there's no problem with that because every healing process is a truth process. All truth is God's truth. And so if you're in a counseling situation, good for you. We just want to get to the root cause. We want to get to the truth. We're after the truth. Why? Because the truth sets us. Yeah, if we don't know what's plaguing us on the inside, and we keep repeating the same mistakes, we keep repeating the same things, if we don't know what the origins of that is, all God's doing is like, hey, we got to get to the bottom of that. You know, Will Smith in Hitch, he said, you know, you got to know what's happened in your past to know where you're headed in the future. I thought, Hollywood, wow, some writer was pretty smart, right? If you don't know where you've been, it's hard to navigate where you're going, right? But a lot of times we're running, right? We're just running from that. I don't want to have anything to do with that because that was the area of bad choices. That's Badzaria over there, right? Did you catch that? Badzaria. And so we're running and then we don't deal with it. Then we go on for years sometimes, years and years and years and years. And then we keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. Why? Because we didn't deal with the stuff in Badzaria, right? So God wants you talking. He wants you talking to him. More prayer, less panic. Displace worry at the center of your life. He wants your mental health. He wants you talking with other people. He's given you the body of Christ. What a wonderful thing. You need community. And maybe sometimes there's a gifted tongue. That's why we have Crossline Pastoral Counseling, by the way. I'm so excited. It's such a great ministry. These people are so trained, so well trained, so loving. If you have never talked about something and you need to talk about it, you give us a call. Holly Mora and the care team, they'll take care of you. It's a safe place. I see them come in and I see breakthroughs happening in people's lives. All right, everybody say, God sees my insides first. God sees my insides first. Say, God knows my story. Say, God wants me talking. Now say, God wants me strong on the inside. Yeah, God wants you strong on the inside. I love Ephesians 3, it's so awesome. So super Saint Paul, who's also super honest, is praying for super strength in the lives of the Ephesian Christians. Listen to how he prays for him. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. Through his spirit, where? In your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have what? Power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. Power in your inner being. You know what God wants right now in this space? Power in your inner being. Not your outer person and persona and social media platform. He wants power in your inner being so you can start winning the battles that really matter. Your relationship with him, more intimacy with him, less sin, more freedom, less depression, more joy, less anxiety, right? More satisfaction and fulfillment. If that's something that you want, that's something God wants to give, but Christ has to dwell in your heart. He needs the victory in your heart. Have you made room for him? Have you let him in the door? Have you received his love? Have you recognized and responded to his great offer of relationship to God and the meaning of life, which is to know God and to learn his ways and be loved by him and to have your sins forgiven and have a purpose for living and have a home in heaven? Do you know him? That Christ might dwell in your heart and then to have that love, which is the problem with Christians. Just like they know about that love, but it hasn't taken the elevator from here to here. It hasn't exploded in their heart. It hasn't, it's still up here. Yeah, I get that. I understand. He died for me, all that, cross the line. Man, God, cross the bridge. You know, I did that a long time ago, right? What's the practical impact of that in your life today for your mental health? God's love is the greatest, most powerful force in the universe. It's the meaning of life. If you haven't encountered God's love and you haven't internalized it and it hasn't gone from your head to your heart, you're missing out, folks. And all the cheap stuff out there that tries to masquerade as fulfillment, that's the devil. A lot of us have been beaten up by that. Oh, yeah, this is great. This is your purpose. This is your identity. You should go chase that. Yeah, you should go really go for that. And in partnership with your flesh, right, you get sucked into this thing. And forgive my language, but the devil's a pimp. He promises you all of this fulfillment and satisfaction and all these other ways to experience healing and freedom, and it's all a lie. Amen? Can we just call it out for what it is? But yet there's a trillion, 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 megillion dollar marketing universe that's telling you that's what you need. That's where you should, not here. You need God's love, right? God wants you strong on the inside. What is the power? Where is the fulfillment? It's in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and an experience of the greatest, most pervasive love, and it solves the identity issue. You will not be confused about who you are when you receive the love of God in your life. You will know that you know that you know that you're a child, that you're loved, that you're fully loved, that you're fully accepted, that he has you, that you have a future. He has a plan. He's concerned. He's seen your story. He'll work on your stuff. But you know what? We don't sell out to that. We don't sell out to it. It's like me going to the altar with my wife on our wedding day, and the pastor says, do you pledge to honor her, cherish her, till death do you part? Sort of. But that's what a lot of you are saying to God right now. You're sort of in on his love. And you know what? When you're at your most joyful and you are at your best is when you are all in, right? That's why children and new Christians are the best to hang around with, because they'll tell you like it is. It's full of joy. Do you see that girl dancing on that stage? Man, that fired me up. She was free. She didn't care what you thought. Why? Because she's jacked up in the love of God. She's just loving it, man. She's bouncing around like a Tijuana jelly bean. I don't know. I don't even know if Tijuana jelly beans exist. I just made it up. But you see what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. I was jealous of her freedom because she has the love of God in her life. And she's just like, wow, no pretense, no fakeness. No, it's just like, man, pure. And I'm just like, wow, God, that ministers to me. I couldn't match her moves. I was trying, but I think I hyperextended my medial ligament. And I have knee issues now. Anyway. A strong inner person has Christ at full capacity. Amen? Does Christ have full capacity in your life? I just, you know, may not be today. Your gas tank might be teetering on E. That's okay. We're going to have a space where you're going to get full, right? Are you rooted in his love? Grasping every day. It's a daily discipline. Man, God loves me so much. And man, that's the fuel for the fire. That's like throwing gas on the fire. God loves me so much. And that's what heals. That's the healing thing. The love of God is healing because it tells you who you are. It tells you that you belong. It tells you that you're secure. It tells you that you have a future. And between now and when you meet God, you have purpose. And that's to live in that love and then express that love to the world. Crossline Church, that's our mission. To experience and know and be healed and free and to set free and heal people loose. So if you're in a process of mental health, man, get healed. Get whole. Get filled. You're going to go low maybe sometime in the future, but keep working. Lastly, the Bible says God wants you healed emotionally. All right? Don't let that word scare you off. Everybody's got emotions. Jesus had emotions. When his friend died, he wept. Jesus was congruent emotionally. When he saw things that were sad, he got sad. When he saw things that were awesome, he rejoiced. When he saw things that were wrong and twisted, he confronted it and got angry and flipped over some tables. He was consistent and he was congruent. Jesus wants you to receive a healing word, even now. The Bible, when it talks about itself, it says, this word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So a little Roman military history. The Romans did not fight with the edge of the sword. They actually relished going to battle with people who did this because they trained how to do this. Because 3 inches of the tip of a Roman hoplite sword would end the person's life. Go about 3-4 inches in. Bye-bye. The Bible says this word is living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen to this. Piercing as far as joint and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So are you ready for a healing sword to go in? Anybody? This is one you're going to want. Listen to what Jesus says. You ready? Here we go. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If you receive that, how about a little of that? I receive that. I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give as a gift, the world can't give. You know, the world, there's a contrast. Jesus is saying, what I give to you, the world can't give. And there's a question the Holy Spirit is asking many of you right here. Then why are you looking for it over here? You're looking for it in digital ways. You're looking for it in financial ways. You're looking for it in material ways. You're searching. This isn't Jesus' world. He doesn't give peace this way. And the idea over here in the world is, yes, if you do this, right, then your problems will abate and you'll have an absence of conflict. And that's the world's definition of peace, when everything is cool. That's not Jesus' definition of peace. Jesus' definition of peace is when he comes in the midst of the chaos. When he brings peace in the middle of your life. When he brings peace when things aren't okay. When he brings peace into a really troubling situation and you're like, you got me? Okay, you got me. Now I'm gonna walk in it. And you're gonna take me to the other side. And like those disciples that got in that boat, it didn't look like it was going well. The boat was taking on water. It looked like it was gonna sink. And they're like, don't you care? And Jesus says to the winds and the waves, he says, hush, be still. At that moment, they were glad they got in the boat. But here's the question. you want healing, and you want to be new, and you want to transform, and you don't want to be the same person that you were, and you want to get free from some of these things that plague you, are you willing to get in the boat and stay in the boat with Jesus? Because when he's present, when he says we're going to the other side, let's put it this way. For the Messiah to have a sea boating accident in the middle of Sea of Galilee was not how the story was going to end. Okay? He said, let's go to the other side. So do you believe his word? Jesus says the Bible says there's no fear in love. A person who's experienced the pervasive, transforming love of Jesus Christ, peace goes up, fear goes down. Let's say it together. Peace goes up, fear goes down. That's right. When you're loved, you're just like, no, I'm resting. I'm resting. I'm resting in God's love and God's care, God's sovereignty, God's wisdom. God loves me. I know that things are all these things aren't right, but he's with me in the boat as we're going through the storm. And he's the eye where there's calm in the midst, because he said you'll have many trials and sorrows, right? So head for the eye. Head for Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment if you don't perform. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So what are we saying? We're saying, you know what? Stop performing. Stop trying harder. Stop taking all these ideas that you have outside of God to become a new person and to find peace and joy and love in your life, and turn to Jesus. It's there for you. And when you do that, you'll win more of your inner battles. I'm not gonna say you're not gonna battle, but you'll win more of your inner battles. God sees our insides first. God knows our story. God wants us talking strong and healed emotionally. Doesn't that sound good? God wants us healed. God wants us strong. God wants us emotionally mature and well, right? So we're gonna create a space. I want everything in your hands out of your hands right now. If you have a phone in your hand, please put it down, put it somewhere, drop your pencils. We're just gonna create a space right now for you. Jesus is here. You've been prayed for. The walls are coming down. I just know it. There's some things that you're ready to address in your life. So I'm here to tell you right now, just in prayer right now, that God is moving. He sees every individual. He knows your story. And he wants you to experience his healing and power on your insides. And right now, he's sealing the space like super glue. No lying voice, no evil, no fear, no pride is gonna keep anyone from making the right decision. It's a space that he's saying, you can let down your guard with me. He's saying, there's healing here and you know you need it. And he's ready to give it. God's revealing hidden things right now. Repetitive, unwanted behaviors. He's revealing those right now. God wants you healed from that. God's revealing uncontrollable bondages and addictions, repeated actions. God wants you healed from that. There are unwanted compulsions that are self-destructive right now, challenging people in this room. God wants you healed from that. There's recurring, daily, moment by moment, negative emotions that are a pattern in people's lives. Anxiety, fear, guilt, depression, hopelessness, abandonment. There are some things like that. If that's one of yours, God wants you healed from that. No more. God is revealing there's some overreactions to a circumstance that's going on right now because something's gone wrong. It's spinning you out, and you're becoming a person you don't know. God wants you healed from that. There's some people here right now that are experiencing intense feelings of rejection. God wants you healed from that. There's lots of people in here that have lost a loved one, and you don't know if you're gonna make it out of it, and you're depressed, and you're losing weight, and you're not sleeping well, and you're confused over who you are and your purpose now that they're gone. God wants you healed from that, and he wants to raise you up. God's revealing stronger than usual anger toward a loved one right now. You weren't that way before, but now stuff's coming out and you don't know where it's coming from and it's hurting your relationships, and God wants you healed from that. God is speaking right now and he's asking individuals to come and talk with me. If you desire healing in your life, you would say back to God, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming with you. I'm getting in the boat. If you're ready to pray, if you're ready for inner healing and deliverance, let's pray together. I'm including myself. Just in your mind and heart and soul, would you just say, Lord Jesus? Lord Jesus, you're my answer. Would you still and quiet my heart? Help me come fully present to you now. Would you say in the authority of Jesus, I command any voice, any influence other than you, Jesus, to be silent and not interfere. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come now in a special way and minister right now. There's people being ministered to right now. God is setting people free right now. Minister, Lord, in our midst. Start searching every heart right now, God. Search every heart. Bring up what is hurtful to you or to people. Bring it up and offer your healing touch. Jesus, start speaking to us individually about the past. God is revealing different emotions that he wants to heal, but he's also revealing some lies that are being believed. Right now, some people are believing rationalizations for behaviors. They're lies, and they have to go. You have to reject them. There are justifications in this room for behaviors that are lies, and you have to reject those. You can just say, I reject that. You know what they are. There are excuses. There's accusations against you that are lies. You got to reject those. You got to reject those voices that say you're unworthy. You have to reject those lies. If you want healing right now, those lies need to be rejected. So in the name of Jesus, we confess and reject all lies keeping us from the peace and joy offered in Jesus. Jesus, forgive us for believing those lies and staying stuck. We humbly ask for your forgiveness for believing in lies. Thank you, Jesus, for the shedding of your blood. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins through your blood. We receive your forgiveness afresh. Wash and cleanse us. Take out the toxic side right now through your blood and your forgiveness. Right now, I want to cover you. In the name of Jesus, I just command any evil spirit, any voice that has influenced these lives to leave, to go now where Jesus sends you. And I ask you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to fill now the open spaces of hearts and minds with your Holy Spirit's presence. Love and joy, let it in. Peace, let it in. More patience, kindness, gentleness, spiritual faithfulness, self-control, let it in. Jesus, all authority has been given to you in heaven and on earth, and so in your powerful name, I seal the work that you're doing right now in people's hearts. By the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, I pray in your name that you would protect the work right now that you're doing. You're healing marriage that was dead. Protect that work in the coming days and weeks and months. I pray that there would be 100-fold fruit coming from what you revealed, what you said, what you're doing right now, God. Seal and sink this healing deep inside every heart right now. Make it bear fruit, God. Let Crossline Church be a community of free and healed people. Lord, thank you for this experience with you. God, thank you how you're going to bring this healing into blessing families and marriages and those people around us, God. So in the name of God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, I seal the work of grace that you've brought about in every heart. And everybody who receives healing in this place can now say, amen. 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 Now everybody look up here. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we did what God says. So here's what's happening right now. Right now, there's some of you and you're like, man, was that just real what I just did? You're sensing something. There's something inside of you. Your insides. Let me tell you what that is. That's the Holy Spirit. You've received a message of inner change and healing and hope. And you want to identify with that, but you're not sure if you're going to be able to pull it off next week. And that's why I prayed a prayer of sealing of that work. And the way we triple dog seal it is by identifying with the message. Did you know that that's what baptism is? Baptism is when you hear a message, like you hear the gospel, salvation and a relationship with God through Christ, right? That's why we baptize people, because people are identifying with the message. There are some of you here, this baptism is not for salvation, it's for healing. You're gonna identify with the healing God just put inside of you. And I don't know who you are, but it's your time. And don't worry about clothes and stuff. We'll put a I Cross the Line t-shirt on you or something. All right, we got lots of them. But it's your time. Maybe it was like a domino effect. You came to Easter, and then you went to Beast Feast, and then you came to today's service, and you're just like, man, this is it. I'm gonna go for it. I need to identify fully. It's not a sort of commitment. It's like, I'm all in. I want Christ operating at full capacity, full love, rooted, grounded, healed and free. This is for you. So what's gonna happen now is I'm gonna go put on my holy Hawaiian swim shorts. And the band is gonna play, but you know who you are. And if that's you, while everybody's standing up, you just say, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me. You come right over here to the side, and I'm gonna come out, and we're gonna seal that work in your life, all right?